Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler has survived his re-election bid, narrowly defeating challenger Sarah Iannarone in last week's election. Now, with the new administration headed into the White House and two new city commissioners on their way onto Portland City Council, Wheeler sat down with Coin 6 reporter Lisa Balick to talk about repairing the relationship with the federal government and building coalitions within City Hall. I'm Ian Costello. It is Tuesday, November 10th, and this is Beyond the Headlines on the Coin Podcast Network. Lisa, you've covered Ted Wheeler for several years now. When it was said and done last week, and it became apparent that he was going to be reelected as mayor of Portland, do you think he was surprised that the election was as close as it was?
No, I don't think so. You know, one of the reasons is he didn't get enough votes back in the primary to have won at that point. And there were, you know, more than a dozen challengers. So based on everything, that's all the issues that the mayor has faced over the past several months, trying to figure out the best way to handle the nightly protest violence with COVID, with the homelessness situation growing even more dire in the city. He's faced an enormous number of problems, and they're big issues and can't be solved quickly. So there's been a lot of discontent among voters. That's why you saw a large number of write-in votes as well when all was said and done. So I don't think he was surprised. I believe that he did expect that he would, in the end, be able to get another 4 years to continue working on what he had started.
You got a chance to talk to the mayor this week, and Portland's relationship with the federal government played a big role in the early part of your conversation. Do you think a strained relationship with the feds played a role in how close the election was? In other words, do you think voters care how well the mayor of Portland gets along with the president of the United States?
There are several parts to that. Clearly, one, we had the federal police officers who many believe overstepped their bounds and went further than strictly defending federal properties like the courthouse during the summer when there was all the violence from some of the protests out front and were chasing people down the street and using tear gas extensively. There was a lot of concern about that. The mayor had said in no uncertain terms that he wanted it stopped, and it wasn't. And in fact, the federal government basically said, look, you know, these are officers, and this is what we're having them do. So, you know, there's clearly been the adversarial relationship there. You also had the president tweeting many times very derogatory things about city leadership here in Portland, saying, look, you know, if we can bring in the National Guard, we'd take care of this in 30 minutes, which certainly was not well received. And so with a change in the presidency, already within the first couple of days of the election outcome being determined, the mayor said that the incoming administration has already reached out to him to bring him into the conversation about what should some of their plans be nationally in terms of helping out cities dealing with key issues such as the housing situation and the homelessness situation.
It certainly sounds like Mayor Wheeler has some real optimism about working with the Biden administration moving forward. Why?
Well, because it won't be adversarial. That's the biggest difference and the biggest change. I mean, having a mayor who's a Democrat and having a Democratic president, they will be working most likely far better than what it was. The other issue, too, is the mayor brought up when I spoke with him one-on-one, was the issue of dollars, where often there had been the threat that federal dollars would be pulled from Portland for being a sanctuary city, for, you know, its position on climate change, some of these different key issues. And so having that threat removed, the mayor said, is certainly helpful.
What will that change for Portland in terms of anything specific in terms of projects, appropriations, things that were hung up until now? I mean, as specific as you can be?
Let me talk generally, then I'll talk specifically. And I'll be quick because, Lisa, you know, sometimes I'm not. Generally, I was extremely impressed with the president-elect and the vice president-elect speeches. And particularly, I was impressed by their call for civility, their calls to heal the nation, to bridge the divides, to encourage people to work with people who have different perspectives or different ideas or different politics. And that's a message that I think not only resounds nationally, it's one that resounds here locally as well. And I am already very impressed with the administration's efforts to reach out to us. I had a meeting with some folks the other day who I think I can safely say are part of the transitional administration, who are talking to us about strategies around housing, around homelessness. They were asking us what we need in our local community to help address the housing crisis and the homeless crisis. And as the mayor of this city, I felt heard. I feel like the perspectives of our community were listened to and were respected and were folded into the information that the new administration is going to use, particularly around housing and homelessness. So that's going to change. I also know that the new administration is immediately going to take us back into the Paris Climate Accords. Portland has always been a leader around protecting the environment and being aggressive on climate action. And I'm really proud of the work my administration has done on that front. But the next time I go to a C40 meeting with all of the mayors from around the world that have committed to climate action, I know that we're going to be backed by somebody in the White House who believes that what we are doing is really important for the health and the future of this planet. So those are just two areas where I feel very optimistic about what's going to happen. And last but not least, it'll be nice to have an ally in the White House who understands the challenges of urban areas, as opposed to somebody who acts as though we are the enemy. We're not the enemy. We're Americans. We may have different perspectives than some people, but we still want to do right by this country. And obviously, people here locally want to do right by the community. So I'm excited to have a positive relationship with the White House, and that'll be different.
Is there something specifically that has been hung up that you will get the green light for Portland?
There's a couple of areas where we're not going to have to fight anymore. Every time the president has threatened to withdraw public support because they disagree with our stance on immigration or disagree with our stance around Black Lives Matter or the movements around racial justice or equity, we're not going to have our federal funding put at risk. I think that in and of itself is really important. But most importantly, we're going to have an administration that is philosophically and ideologically aligned with the values of this city. You can't understate how important that is going forward.
Lisa, one of the ways in which big cities regularly interact with the federal government is through the Department of Justice and specifically the U.S. Attorney. Right now in Portland, that is Billy Williams, but that could be changing. You talked to Mayor Wheeler about the U.S. Attorney's office. Do you think he sees changes coming, and does he think that could change the way the feds respond to protests in Portland under a Biden administration?
I asked the mayor about that, and, you know, would he want to change in the U.S. Attorney for Oregon? That's who he has butted heads with in terms of trying to get the federal deputization removed. The U.S. Attorney for Oregon has said, no, we're not removing it. At this point, it will stay through the end of the year. So he wouldn't address directly whether or not he wanted the current U.S. Attorney for Oregon gone, but clearly the policies that are implemented will clearly change based on who the boss is in the White House.
Is it going to change federal involvement with protesters, especially with the new president being in charge of appointing a new U.S. Attorney for Oregon, if he so chooses?
That remains to be seen. I can't speak definitively on that subject, but my guess would be that the new administration would not target urban areas just by virtue of the fact that they're governed by Democratic leaders, which is what has happened under the current administration. So I don't think you're going to see the same type of heavy-handed, overbearing tactics that were used in the city of Portland earlier this year, in this summer, that clearly stirred up sentiments here in the community. I don't think that the Biden administration would make that same tactical mistake.
Speaking of the protests, there was some hope out there that with the result of the presidential election as it came out over the weekend and President Trump losing, we may see less violence on the streets of Portland. Yet late Saturday night, early Sunday, the Democratic Party headquarters in Portland get smashed up a little bit. When you were talking to Mayor Wheeler, Lisa, did you sense a post-election change in his attitude toward the violent destruction?
No, he's always come out strongly denouncing the violence. He did want to make it clear that he doesn't see that the violence that happened over the weekend to the Democratic Party office was done by Black Lives Matter protesters. He said absolutely not. These were white men who basically did some destruction and had no connection whatsoever to any of the legitimate protest movement. The mayor, when working with the district attorney, keep saying over and over that, look, we'll prosecute. And they did make some arrests in this situation. And the district attorney made it clear that he intends to prosecute them. And I think, and that's been the big issue.
After the violence we saw this weekend involving the Democratic Party office in Portland, clearly violent demonstrations, criminal activity is not going away, even after the election. Any different plan to try and get it to stop?
Well, let's be clear about what it is, first of all. What happened at the Democratic Party headquarters was flat out a criminal act. It was not a protest, and I wish we'd stop calling it a protest. It was a group of young people, as most as I can tell anecdotally and based on arrests, it was a overwhelmingly white group of people. They engaged in acts of criminal destruction, and then they put the BLM banner on it. In other words, they basically laid their criminal destruction at the feet of the Black Lives Matter movement. And the Black Lives Matter movement has clearly denounced that violence and those actions today. And I stand with them in denouncing those actions. I don't care what your politics are or your lack of politics are in this particular case. If you engage in acts of violence or criminal destruction, we will pursue you. And I was very pleased that the Portland Police Bureau made three arrests. I spoke not only to the chief this morning, I've spoken to the district attorney, and he assures me that there will be prosecutions in those cases. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take us arresting people who are engaged in criminal activity and holding them accountable. We should do nothing less.
Lisa, the conversation over the last few months about reducing funding for the Portland Police Bureau kind of goes hand in hand with the protests we have been seeing and will likely continue to dominate the discussion at city council meetings. There are certainly some ideological differences among Mayor Wheeler and some of the city commissioners, especially when it comes to the future of PPB. Do you think Ted Wheeler sees any opportunities to move that conversation forward?
Well, the mayor said yes, definitely. It was a very divisive vote, 3-2, when Commissioner Hardesty had proposed cutting another $18 million out of the police budget. The mayor said that, you know, there's no question that there are going to be cuts coming when you look down the road in terms of the tax dollars not coming in to the city with COVID continuing, the economic disruption to city businesses that have closed forever. So he said, yes, there will be cuts that are going to be made to the police budget again. And what he wants to do, he said, is to sit down with everybody and say, look, let's not just sort of quickly slash some money out. We really do need to take a hard look at where can we make cuts that will not impact public safety, because the initial proposal was that there were no cuts needed. However, when the city budget analysts went through it, they said there's no question in our mind there would have to be officer positions cut and staff cut. That became a public safety issue for the mayor, for Commissioner Dan Ryan, for Commissioner Amanda Fritz, and that's how they voted against making the cuts currently.
We had a sharp disagreement about the decision that Commissioner Hardesty wanted us to take to reduce the police budget by $18 million on top of the $27 million that we had reduced this year. My bar is not going to change. My bar is I will do whatever is the right thing to do to improve public safety. I did not believe that just arbitrarily cutting $18 million more dollars out of the police budget this year would necessarily lead to any improvement in public safety. And in fact, my concern, based on the number of officers that would have to be laid off to meet that additional $18 million cut, was that the city's public safety would in fact be jeopardized. So here's what I'm encouraging my colleagues on the council to do now, between now and the end of the year. We know that we will have to make reductions in the police budget next year, just based on our economic projections. Let's work together over a period of the next 3 to 7 months to chart out a longer-term thoughtful strategy about how best to absorb those reductions without impacting the public safety. You know, that's what we need to do, is do the hard work of taking the time, engaging not only with the community, but engaging the police bureau, engaging broad swaths of people whose voices are not necessarily heard in these discussions about how best to protect the safety of the public. And so that's the budget side. But what we also need to do is take that action and that energy that's been out there on the streets in support of racial justice and equity and common sense police form. Let's bring that activity inside and let's start talking about, what does it mean? How do we hire more diversity in our police bureau? What training or directives do we need to change in order to improve public safety for everyone in the community? What does community policing look like 3, 5, 10 years down the road here in the city of Portland? Let's take the time to be thoughtful and smart and fact-based in the approach, rather than calls over the period of a few days for massive cuts to the police bureau. Let's be smart about this. Let's not act rash. In other words, let's do it quickly, but let's not rush.
As we look forward to January and welcoming a pair of new commissioners to the Portland City Council, there's a chance that some of those leadership positions at specific city bureaus, like Portland Police, could be reorganized. When you talked to Mayor Wheeler about that, Lisa, what sense did you get that we could see some significant changes coming down the road?
He doesn't want to reveal what he's thinking. He says he wants to sit down with all the commissioners, talk to them about what their interests are, what they feel their strengths are, before he makes the assignments. I mean, that's what he gets to do as the mayor, is decide who is in charge of what bureaus with the current city form of government that we have. Now, traditionally, the mayor's always been the head of the police bureau, and the sense is that's not going to change, although he won't confirm that just yet.
You talk about the police bureau. You've said that you haven't made any decisions until you meet with the new commission members as to who will be in charge of which bureau. But do you know at least whether or not you want to stay head of the police bureau?
I have promised that I would meet with all of my colleagues. That means my two new colleagues, included commissioner-elects Rubio and Maps. And I want to have this conversation as a council. I've said that every bureau is on the table. I'm going to be thoughtful about who I assign the bureaus to. And I want to meet with more people in the community and get their perspectives as well. So all of the bureaus are up for reassignment potentially come January, and I'll make that decision in due time.
One thing he did mention in the conversation, which is interesting, was he indicated he wants to perhaps look at grouping some of the bureaus together, bureaus that make sense that maybe partner more together. And he wasn't specific any details about that, but looking at, in terms of when he assigns the bureaus to different commissioners, to, in his words, make a little more sense as to which bureaus are together under the umbrella of a particular commissioner.
Newly elected Portland City Commissioners Mingus Maps and Carmen Rubio will take office in January. Ted Wheeler's term as mayor will last until 2024. That does it for us today. I'm Ian Costello for the COIN Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon. Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home COIN Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the COIN podcasts in one place. The brand new COIN Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search COIN, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.